Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Well, it's almost official. The LeBron James Hollywood experiment has been a total failure. Eliminated last night by the Denver Nuggets, the LeBron James era in Los Angeles, a failure after 6 years. We'll talk about it today on Fearless. Welcome to Fearless with Jason Whitlock. I'm Jason Whitlock, your host. Happy Tuesday. Thank you for joining me. Awesome show planned for you today. Scap Attack, Jay Scapanak, he's going to join us. You know, he's a big LeBron hater, puts out a lot of videos over social media. We'll hear from him. Steve Kim's going to join us. I've got a lot to say about LeBron James, so buckle up. The fire starter will be amazing. First thing you guys can do, though, or I just want to remind you of, is the extra Fearless content. You can check that out on Blaze TV. Go to blazetv.com/fearless. Use the promo code Fearless, and you can save $20 on your yearly subscription. I suggest, for those of you that didn't see the conversation that Shamika and I had about Christy Nome and killing her dogs and all of that, that's behind the paywall on Extra Fearless. Go check it out. There's a lot of great content that we don't serve up for free here on YouTube that you can get with Extra Fearless. You just got to have a Blaze TV subscription. Do that. That's the best way of supporting me, this show, this network that's bringing you this Fearless content. The other thing you could do is thank our great sponsors, particularly Good Ranchers. This episode is brought to you by Good Ranchers. Good Ranchers is locking in your price until 2026. When you subscribe to any of their boxes of 100% American meat and seafood, use my promo code Fearless at GoodRanchers.com and save 10%. We love Good Ranchers because they love us and they love you. Wow. Let's get into it. I've been laying the groundwork for this fire starter for 6 years. I'm telling, if you go back 6 years when this happened, go back and watch me on Speak for Yourself or old clips of that. I never liked the LeBron James. Never liked the LeBron James move to Los Angeles. I called it the LeBron James Hollywood experiment. It was going to be a bust, and it has been. Let's get into it. According to conventional wisdom, bad marriages spiral into divorce around year seven. It's called the seven-year itch. LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers just concluded the sixth year of their shotgun marriage, losing to the Denver Nuggets in five games in the first round of the NBA playoffs. Let's take a look at LeBron James and the Hollywood experiment. Let's look at the results. The Lakers have missed the playoffs twice, exited in the first round twice, and advanced to one NBA Finals. So let's get that. Let's look at that in 72 months. They won a single title with LeBron. The 2020 COVID bubble championship. Put an asterisk by that championship. By Lakers standards, the marriage to LeBron has been a failure. In the 64-year history of the Los Angeles Lakers, the franchise has competed in 27 NBA Finals. On average, about every 2.5 years, the Lakers play in the NBA Finals. With the league's all-time leading scorer, the franchise has advanced to the NBA's biggest stage once in 6 years. This is a bad marriage. It's showing all the signs. Let's think this through for those of you mature adults in the audience. When spouses, when they realize, like, hey, this marriage is going sour, what do they do? One of the parties will go, you know what'll fix this? A baby. Let's throw out birth control. Let's have a baby. Let's have another baby. That will fix it. Yeah, that will rekindle the old spark that united us. So guess what happened last night shortly after the Denver Nuggets eliminated the Los Angeles Lakers? Shams Charania reported that owner Jeannie Buss was open to adding LeBron's unqualified son, Bronny James, to the Lakers roster. Let's just think about this. An NBA, a professional sports team, is so desperate to keep a 39-year-old superstar athlete who's clearly at the end of his rope. They're so desperate to keep him, they're willing to make his son a make-a-wish kid in the NBA. That's the key to salvaging this bad marriage. Let's make Bronny a make-a-wish kid on the Lakers roster. This could only happen in Hollywood. I say that because many people will rush to lay all the blame for this failed experiment on LeBron James. But an equal amount of blame falls on the Lakers' outdated strategy. The truth is, the Lakers have never been an expertly run sports franchise. I say that with the full knowledge that the great Jerry West served as the franchise's general manager for nearly two decades, and legends Pat Riley and Phil Jackson coached the team through two dynasties. But the Lakers have been the NBA's most dominant franchise solely because it has been allowed to acquire the biggest and most dominant forces in basketball. Wilt Chamberlain, Shaquille O'Neal, LeBron James. These guys, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Shaquille O'Neal, LeBron James. These aren't homegrown talents. These are people they've acquired through trade. These are people, two of them, Wilt and Kareem through trade, Shaq through free agency, and LeBron through free agency. So the biggest, most immovable objects in the history of the league all just happened to wind up in Los Angeles. It's good for the league, very good for the league, to have its most indomitable forces in Los Angeles, a major market, located in a city known for creating huge TV stars and icons. Plucking Wilt Chamberlain from Philadelphia, Kareem from Milwaukee, O'Neal from Orlando, and LeBron James from Cleveland. That served the NBA's bottom line. Let's get him to LA and make it a bigger and better TV show. The NBA, like all sports leagues, it's just another TV show. But given all the rule manipulation and the dramatic change in the style of play, this formula no longer works. You used to be able to just put Wilt, Kareem, Shaq in a physical era of basketball. You put them, that brute force, in the low force, in the low post, and it created space for the four other teammates to flourish. It was the solution. Get the biggest, strongest, most deadly force, and Kareem was kind of slim, but that sky hook was unstoppable, and it created space, and it gave everybody room to flow and move. That's the way the game used to be played. You put a giant in the middle, unstoppable, everybody else eats off him. LeBron James, again, because the league has moved away from centers and that indomitable force, he is the most indomitable force because of his size and strength and athleticism. But the game is now spaced. Three-point shooters rule, and an analytics-driven strategy delivers championships and consistent winning. What does LeBron James do? He hangs out along the three-point line like everyone else. His brute strength and physical advantages are nullified in the modern NBA. So now the NBA is about great coaching and homegrown talent. That's the key to consistent winning. You could see it in the Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, Golden State dynasty. You can see it in what Michael Malone and Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets have built. You can see it with the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and even the Boston Celtics. You need a system and players willing to buy into that system to win consistently. That's where the NBA has gone. The Lakers don't have and have never had a system, and they married a superstar player who only buys into himself. Let me stop and clarify that statement for just a brief second. I know they ran the triangle with Phil Jackson. I get it. And I know that they won two championships after Shaq left with Phil and Kobe in the triangle. That's a system. I get it. But the foundation, what's made the Lakers so great, is always, it's not been a system. It's been, hey, who's the biggest thing going? Who's the most unstoppable force in basketball? Okay, we want him. We want him here in Los Angeles. The league works with us. We acquire that player. This is good for the league. We want the biggest star in Los Angeles so we can make him an even bigger star. Now you need a system. Now you need players who buy into a system. That's what has ruined the end of LeBron James' career, where this game has transitioned and moved into. And there have been franchises out there that are developing their own players, developing a system, and they're winning. Yes, did the Golden State Warriors add Kevin Durant to help them win? Yes, it happened. But over Klay, Steph, Draymond, that's their own homegrown talent. That's a system, that's a belief in Steve Kerr. When you look at what OKC, most of you can't even name who's on OKC's team but beyond the Shea Alexander kid. Is the Chet Holmgren, is he on their team? I can't remember. Oh, the Josh Gidney, maybe he's on their team because I think he got in trouble. But look, they're the number one seed in the West. I'm not saying they're going to win the West because I tend to think the Minnesota Timberwolves or Denver. Whoever wins this Denver-Minnesota is going to win. But all these teams, homegrown talent, great coach, developed chemistry, a system that they buy into. What player, what all-time great player never buys into a system? What all-time great player has had 8 different NBA coaches? LeBron James. He's had Paul Silas. He's had Mike Brown. He's had Eric Spoelstra. He's had Ty Lue, David Blatt, Luke Walton, Frank Vogel, and Darvin Ham. Ham is about to get fired, according to all reports. LeBron may be moving on in free agency, according to Brian Windhorst, or he certainly wants to be a free agent. So LeBron will have a 9th coach. And you could say, well, that's over 22 years. No one else has played as many years as LeBron. Of course he has 9 NBA head coaches. Okay, let's compare LeBron James to Michael Jordan. Doesn't everyone say it's LeBron and Jordan who are the all-time greats in their battle? Well, let's compare him to Michael Jordan. Let's start Michael Jordan's career in high school. Let's include his Olympic coaches. Now, he's had 8 different basketball coaches, starting in high school. Some dude named Clifton Haring in high school, Dean Smith at North Carolina, Bobby Knight in the 1984 Olympics, Kevin Loughery, Stan Albach, Doug Collins, Phil Jackson with the Bulls, Chuck Daly with the 92 Olympics, and Doug Collins again with the Washington Wizards. Think it through. Michael Jordan, 8 coaches from high school, include 2 Olympic teams, and that's how he gets to 8 coaches. LeBron James is the Liz Taylor of basketball divorce. He's in another toxic relationship. Adding baby Bronny won't fix what's broken inside the Lakers organization, and it won't fix LeBron James either. LeBron James is selfish and narcissist. He's willing to make to live out his own fantasy. He's willing to make his child a prop, a make-a-wish kid in the NBA. We've seen it, and I know, I'm about to make y'all cry. I'm about to make you Dion groupies cry. But again, look at these all-time great narcissistic, ego-driven athletes. What Deion Sanders has done to his to the Colorado football program and built it around his two sons and favoring them and promoting, running an offense, doing all that other stuff and control. These athletes, these egomaniacal, out of control, delusional athletes that will do anything to pleasure their own egos. Even my seed belongs in the NBA. And I'm going to allow the Lakers to draft my son, who averaged 5 points as a freshman at USC. I'm willing to do that. I'm going to become a free agent, auction myself off to whatever team is willing to put my son on the roster. Y'all want to sit around and talk about white privilege and a mentality of entitlement? There's athletic privilege. Privilege and entitlement knows no skin color. It only knows a mindset. This whole, white privilege, and everybody white gets this advantage and that advantage. That's a fantasy. That's a lie. That's a myth. It's not true. Entitlement and privilege are not determined by skin color. Determined by mentality. We see it in LeBron James, we see it in Deion Sanders, and we think it's all okay because, hey, they're black and you know, their ancestors were slaves, and so they deserve that entitlement. I know LeBron James is a billionaire, but his son belongs in the NBA because he's owed that. That's reparations. Let's don't call it out for what it is. A narcissist. A person pleasuring his own ego, someone willing. And I'm sure Bronny will love being in the NBA with his dad. But everybody in that league, behind his back, is going to be calling him a make-a-wish kid. You know what a make-a-wish kid is, right? You ever see college football teams during their spring game? They'll bring out a little autistic kid or some kid that's physically compromised and let him score a touchdown. LeBron's going to do that to his 6'4", perfectly healthy son. And his son, mimicking the mentality of his dad, is going to go along with that. This is unprecedented. Michael Jordan had sons who played basketball. He did not manipulate their careers. I think one of them played at Central Florida. We've seen a lot of professional athletes who's great professional athletes who have sons, and they haven't done what LeBron James is about to do to the NBA. This is unprecedented. And I just can't blame LeBron. This is on the Lakers, too, and Jenny Buss for even offering this up. This is on Adam Silver and the entire league. This is the rejection of merit. And we see it across the American culture. And no one wants to come up. Well, Ivy League parents do it and blah, blah, blah. So why shouldn't LeBron do it? You know how many kids get into Harvard that don't deserve it? And so it's okay if LeBron does it. Again, you're not upset about entitlement and privilege. You just want it color-coded. We get to have it. They don't. When they do it, it's racist. When we do it, it's reparations. I like that. When they do it, it's racist. When we do it, it's reparations. It's all entitlement. It's all narcissism. It's all a lack of humility. It's arrogance. You've made $1 billion for being an athlete. You live out a fantasy in a fantasy world virtually every day. But you know what I need? I need my son in the NBA too. I know he doesn't deserve it, but I need him there too. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. The Lakers are doing it, but I'm not surprised because there's this myth like, oh, the Lakers are this, oh, what a historic franchise. They've been to 32 NBA finals if you count Minneapolis as well. It's a historic franchise. It's been so well run. Nah, man, they just buy what they want and they live out in L.A. They feel like they're entitled. They want instant gratification. They don't build teams. They acquire teams. And then we look out at teams that are actually built and work together and build chemistry and come up with something great. And then the Lakers just come and hit them in the transfer portal and offer them. You ever seen the women we got out here and the weather we got out here in Los Angeles and all the movies we can put you in and all the other stuff we can offer you? We can put you, again, LeBron's running around like he's some media executive. The shop is some sort of great talk show. He gets to live in a bubble, a delusional, fantasy-filled bubble. I'm going to have Scap and Steve Kim join me in this conversation. Love for you to hop in the comments. I know you LeBron groupies. I know you're going to be upset, and how dare I? And Jason just hates on black people. No, I hate on certain mentalities. I hate on egos run amok, a lack of humility, a sense of entitlement. And I call it out wherever I see it in sports. And if a certain group has more entitlement and wants more privilege than other groups, because they bought into a mentality of victimhood and that they're owed something and it doesn't matter that I've made $1 billion and that I've been worshipped for the last 2 decades by sports fans. Hey, I'm still a victim and someone scribbled the N-word on the back gate of my mansion and I'm owed something. And you know what I want for being owed? So I want my son on an NBA roster that he has not earned. That's what the victim mentality does. And so for all the people, oh, Whitlock, he just criticized, here he is attacking another black man. No, I'm attacking entitlement and a victim mentality. When you shake out of the victim mentality, trust me, you'll never hear me offer a word of complaint about you. But if your entire mentality is like, oh my God, the world's unfair. Oh, I'm owed something. Give me reparations. So-and-so got reparations. I need reparations. Let me move on, or I want to move on to Scap Attack, get his take on all of this. And I want to talk to you guys about our purpose here at Fearless, Preborn. As Mother's Day approaches, I want to highlight for you an organization that cares so deeply for mothers, and that's Preborn. Preborn's network of clinics exists exclusively to offer love, life, and support to pregnant women who are feeling scared and alone and who are being pressured to make the ultimate choice, one that will not only sacrifice the life of their baby, but will also take a piece of their heart. When a distressed mother comes to Preborn, she's welcomed with open arms and is offered a free ultrasound to see and hear the precious life inside of her. And the majority of the time, once that happens, she will choose life for her baby. This Mother's Day, you can help bring life to both a mother in need and an at-risk baby. One ultrasound is only $28. 5 ultrasounds are $140. Every penny goes towards loving mothers and babies as well. And when you become a monthly sponsor, you will receive pictures and stories of lives you helped save. To get involved, simply dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, keyword baby. Or visit preborn.com/fearless. That's preborn.com/fearless. I want to add one thing to my conversation about preborn. I received an email from one of the viewers, listeners of the show. And the viewer listener pointed out, like, hey, Whitlock, yesterday you talked quite a bit about Anthony Edwards. You celebrated him as a basketball player. And the viewer was upset. It's like, you didn't mention that Anthony Edwards is involved in some sort of abortion controversy. And he allegedly paid some woman $100K or offered to pay a woman $100K if she got an abortion. Blame me. Blame me alone. Everything this guy wrote me in the email this morning was news to me. I said yesterday, and I'm not making excuses because it's my job to know, but I said yesterday that for the first 2 years of Anthony Edwards' career, I literally thought he was Anthony Bennett, who was the first round pick, number one overall pick in 2013. And I just got him confused because I just don't pay as close of attention to the NBA as I used to. And I said it wasn't until last year that I actually figured out, oh, Anthony Edwards, this is some new dude. And, you know, he plays for the Timberwolves. It's not Anthony Bennett, who eventually was traded to the Timberwolves. So I was confused. I don't follow the NBA and all their gossip as close as I used to. The high-hanging fruit, what goes on with LeBron James or Kevin Durant or Steph Curry or Kyrie Irving, I'm in the loop on much of that. But I did not know this about Anthony Edwards. And so my fire starter, had I known, would have been a bit different. I think this kid's an exciting player. I think he's charismatic. Yesterday I said that, you know, the only thing I could really complain about him is the cursing. I don't like all the cursing and the way he presents himself in front of the media. I certainly would have added this, the fact that some woman, he allegedly got pregnant, they got text messages or whatever with him asking her to get an abortion, and you know, then he puts out a statement backpedaling and saying it was a heat of the moment, whatever. I certainly would have added that, and I regret not being as informed as I should have been and knowing that yesterday. Because the guy that sent me the email is like, how could you do this? How could you talk about him without mentioning this? He goes, what would preborn think? And I did think about that. So that's a regret I wanted to pass on. We try to be transparent and authentic on this show. And so I want to be, I made a mistake yesterday. It's on me. Jay Skapanek, Skap Attack. We'll talk about LeBron James next.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Do you know how you're going to spend the first day of Pride Month? I know how I'm going to spend it. Honoring God, my Lord and Savior. Fellowshipping with other men who are concerned about the direction of this country. I'm going to spend it right here in Nashville, Tennessee, leading Roll Call 2.0 alongside country music star John Rich. John and I have partnered on this annual event to inspire men to live up to their biblical responsibility of leadership. John's going to sing, I'm going to speak, so is Blaze founder Glenn Beck. We've invited basketball coaches, football players, singers, successful entrepreneurs, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, author Vince Everett Ellison, and contributors of the Fearless Army to speak and fellowship with us. You can join us in Nashville June 1, or you can celebrate Pride Month. It's your choice. To join us, visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com and reserve your spot. Welcome back. Let's get some Scap Attack in our life. You guys know Scap. He's been on the show before. Hopefully you follow him over social media, over Twitter. He puts out great video content, mostly trolling LeBron James. Before we get to Scap, let's play his latest video. I think you put this together last night after after the game. Let's play this video.
The Lakers led for a larger percentage of their first four games than the Timberwolves. And Minnesota not only swept the Suns in their series, they won that series by an average margin of 15 points per game. But the Lakers led for more of their first four games than the Wolves. But LA entered their game five down 3-1 in the series. And that inevitably falls squarely on the shoulders which bear the ink of Chosen One on them. And LeBron James has been bandying himself around as the GOAT since 2016, closing in on a decade now, since Kyrie Irving won Game 7 in the Oracle of the 2016 NBA Finals.
That one right there made me the greatest player of all time.
And he has been going out of his way ever since to let us all know that he thinks he is the GOAT. Traveling with a pair of live goats, having his wife introduce him as the GOAT.
The GOAT, respectfully, LeBron James.
And recently, just before the playoffs started, posting this video of him shooting around with his son in the driveway.
I'm GOAT, bro. G-O-A-T. What are you talking about?
But as Bron found out after choking away this wide open shot in game two, which was the cherry on the top of a blown 20-point lead, critical shots in clutch time of the playoffs hit a little differently than those driveway jumpers.
Scap, you're relentless on LeBron. I can't put all of this on LeBron James. You seem to. I've been a Lakers fan. I've never thought like, oh man, they're just, what an amazingly run franchise. They just pluck and buy whatever they want from Wilt Chamberlain all the way to LeBron James. Anyway, why do you put most of the blame for this on LeBron?
Well, Jason, first of all, thanks for having me. And the reason I put it all on LeBron is because he's an all-time great, isn't he? He's allegedly the greatest player of all time. At least that's what he would have us all believe. And in fact, it is consensus that he is somewhere in those top two greatest players of all time. So really the question isn't, did LeBron play poorly? Of course, LeBron had a good series, relatively speaking, especially if we're measuring him as a 39-year-old. However, look at the context of the series that LeBron James found himself in. This is going to be painted, like most things are in LeBron's career, through the lens of revisionism, like it was some kind of David versus Goliath, the unbeatable Denver Nuggets. What we have here with the Denver Nuggets is a team that has a one all-star on it. Nikola Jokic is the only player in the top eight core rotational players that have ever made an all-star team at any point of their entire NBA careers. There is only one player that is a one-time All-Star other than Jokic, which is DeAndre Jordan. He made that All-Star appearance like 8 years ago and plays all of about 9 minutes a game, if that, at this point. So this is not a juggernaut, unbeatable Nuggets team. They were very banged up. Murray was hurt, ailing much of the series. He came in hurt. He aggravated his lower body injuries in game four. And now the Lakers basically dominated large stretches of this series. I allude to it in the video. They led 71% of the minutes played in the first four games of this series. That's right up there with the likes of the Celtics, the Thunder, and the Timberwolves. The Thunder and the Timberwolves swept their opponents in their first four games. The Celtics are up 3-1. LeBron entered his fifth game down in the 1-3 hole. Jason, that those games are the responsibility. It is incumbent of the great players to get those games over the finish line for their teams. So did LeBron play poorly? Did he choke by and large throughout this series, other than, of course, that wide open shot in game two? I can't say that. However, these games were there for the taking, and the greatest of players would have taken them. LeBron hasn't, and that's just the MO of his entire career.
Cap, where I think you're really on solid ground, and you didn't make this point, but why you can put it on LeBron James, is clearly the Denver Nuggets have a system and a culture that all the players buy into. And that's always been the problem with LeBron James. He always thinks he's smarter than his head coach. And he never fully buys into the system and all the players behind him. The other 14 players on the roster end up following his lead of not being totally bought into the system. And so that I think it's hard to build a system and culture around LeBron James. They had it in Miami by force and the will of Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra. And LeBron didn't even max that situation out. And then he bolted because he wanted to be in control. That, to me, is the biggest knock on LeBron, is that he's never been able to partner with a head coach and create a system where consistent winning is and elevating the other players and putting them in position. That's never been LeBron's strength.
It's a great point. When you look at the last two championships he's won in his career since exiting Miami, I mean, they're both virtually just fluke outlier seasons. He has, of course, the bubble win in the Orlando bubble at the Disney campus in the exhibition tournament disguised as an NBA championship, as you know I like to refer to it as. And that came in a season where Anthony Davis was first-team All-NBA, first-team All-NBA defense, finished second in Defensive Player of the Year voting, and sixth in league MVP. He led those playoffs in points scored and in win shares. So the other championship, of course, was, you know, the one that made him the GOAT against the 73-win Warriors team in 2016. But if you really dig into that series, he had Kyrie Irving going off for 27 points per game in that seven-game final series. He outscored Steph Curry head-to-head while outshooting Steph Curry at every level, free throw, three-point line, and standard field goals. He basically, you know, Kyrie Irving outplayed Steph Curry. There was no Kevin Durant, remember, yet on that team. He wouldn't join till that summer. So those are two outlying kind of championship years for LeBron. As you noted, the only sustained success he had was in Miami, where he goes to the four consecutive, wins the back-to-back. But again, he wanted Eric Spoelstra fired. Pat Riley is on the record. Pat Riley noted in a book he did, he interviewed for a book years later, where he said basically that LeBron wanted Spoelstra out. Now look, how does that look now in hindsight with everything that Spoelstra has accomplished with the subpar and mediocre talent that he's taken to the finals since LeBron has left? James couldn't take it. He couldn't take being treated like just a standard player. The guy is totally uncoachable. He wanted to be King James. He didn't like that he wasn't calling all of the shots, so he had to leave after 4 years. And quite frankly, it just hasn't been the same for him in his career since. He is lucky that he got those two subsequent championships after he left Miami. We could be looking at a real disaster if he didn't luck into those two.
Cap, before you came on, I was talking about that LeBron has had eight NBA head coaches, and he's headed for his ninth. I made the comparison between he and Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, if you count his high school coach, if you count Dean Smith, his college coach, if you count his Olympic coaches, Bobby Knight and Chuck Daly. So that's four coaches right there. Michael Jordan only had eight coaches in his entire career, started in high school, all through college, two Olympics, eight coaches. LeBron has had eight different NBA coaches headed to a ninth. He is the ultimate coach killer. And Darvin Ham, who it's hard to judge, but Darvin Ham is probably a bad coach, but LeBron insists on having bad coaches who will kowtow and favor him rather than a great coach. You know, to me, if LeBron had partnered with any coach, from Greg Popovich to Rick Carlisle to any of these, Michael Malone, any of these guys, and just rolled it out, you know, he would have been far better served than doing it the LeBron James way and then leaking things to the media. Where do you think it goes from here, Scap? Do you think LeBron returns to the Lakers, or does he head to Cleveland or someplace else where he thinks he can steal a championship?
Well, it's a great question. As you noted, Darv is already on the chopping block. You know, it's expected that he will be parting ways with the Lakers at some point fairly soon. While, look, the Lakers front office are already trying to fantastically imagine ways that they could, you know, woo LeBron into staying with them. Probably, you know, on the queue will be drafting Bronny. If that's something that LeBron wants to happen, they will do it. The Lakers are already also talking about, you know, exploring Trae Young. You know, kicking the tires on Trae Young is kind of the way that it's being presented, that there will be conversations in the front office. Sure, like it's, you know, they have to weigh something here. Trae Young finished second in the NBA this season in assists at around 11 per game and 26 points per game to go along with it. So that sure would be a nice third option to team up with, he and Anthony Davis. Davis has already said he's committed to the wooing front of LeBron James too. He'll continue bending the knee as well. I think the Lakers probably make the most sense here for LeBron. He's probably just going to be exercising his free agency, you know, to kind of shift the spotlight to him while the rest of the NBA playoffs are playing out. Have us all look at him, talk about him, give him what he demands and desires most, which is attention. But I think at the end of the day, I would be surprised to see him leave Los Angeles.
Scap, thank you. Appreciate it. We'll circle back to you as the playoffs continue. Before we get out of here and get to Steve Kim, I want to talk to you guys about Jace Medical. Just like it was back during the pandemic, today we're facing a drug and medical supply shortage in the United States. As of March, there were more than 200 drug shortages here, and it's looking like it's going to get a lot worse before it gets any better. Healthcare experts have pointed to shortages, domestic production, and the Drug Supply Chain Security Act as trends to watch this year. You wouldn't think that that things like this could happen in America, but we've been seeing it for literally years now. This is why you should have a Jace case. It provides five life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. All you have to do is fill out a simple form online, and you'll have it there, ready in case you need it. There are dozens of add-on options as well, like EpiPens and ivermectin. Jace Medical is empowering people just like you to be able to take your family's health into your own hands. Check them out today and go to jacemedical.com. That's jacemedical.com and enter the promo code Fearless at checkout for a discount on your order. That's promo code Fearless at jacemedical.com. Stick around, Steve Kim next. There are voices and songs crying out for men to live up to their biblical responsibilities, to correct a corrupt and broken culture. We can no longer afford to ignore the tug on the heart that all good men hear and feel. We have lost our way, and we know it. We can see it in the eyes and actions of scared, frustrated, and confused children. Free speech? It's under attack. The meritocracy? It's been scrapped in the name of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Identity politics separates us by color. As we step further and further away from our identity in Christ, Satan steals the innocence of children. Join me.
We need courage, not perfection.
John Brick.
You're the benefactor of the fact that the founding fathers recognized that's where your inalienable rights come from.
Glenn Beck.
You are the leaders of freedom and liberty in the world.
Mark Robinson.
Ain't but two genders.
Pastor E.W. Jackson.
But I owe my identity not to my race. I owe my identity to the Lord Jesus Christ.
And members of the Fearless Army in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to reserve your spot at the Men's Summit that will restore your faith and your resolve to fight.
Yeah, 모두 다 빨리 박수 쳐 기다리지 말고 서둘러 We send them back just to feed you raps I see that you are 배불러 So sad
Alright, welcome back. We're joined by the great Steve Kim, the Korean Kosell. Kosell, I want to play you a couple of clips. We'll start with LeBron is asked after the game about his Lakers future. Play the clip.
Tonight, was there any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that. Appreciate it.
Not going to answer that question. Brian Windhorst today is reporting that LeBron is going to opt out of his contract. Let's listen to Windhorst.
I do not think that it will be. However, I do think that LeBron intends to opt out of his contract and become a free agent for the first time since 2018. And I think that that will apply a little bit of pressure to the Lakers. I think he's doing it for three reasons. Number one, because I think he wants to see what the Lakers do around the draft. They have potentially three first-round picks that they can trade, a couple of contracts that they can package with it to upgrade the team. You remember that they did not make any significant upgrades to this team at the trade deadline. LeBron did not forget that, and I do think he likes to have that pressure on them. Number two, as you may have heard, his son Bronny may be, and I expect to be, in this draft. The Lakers, I think, will keep their draft pick. The New Orleans Pelicans have the option to either take this year's pick or defer to next year. I believe the Pelicans will defer to next year, so I think the Lakers will go into the draft with the 17th overall pick and the 55th overall pick. LeBron has expressed an interest in possibly playing with his son. The Lakers will have potentially two chances to draft him. And number three, I think that there's some features that he can put in a new contract. Number one, if he opts in, he only gets 1 year and $50 million. He could potentially get multi-years. And also, he does not have a no-trade clause in his contract. There's only one out there in the NBA. It belongs to Bradley Beal. I wouldn't be surprised if he'd like to lock that in as well. So I do think we're going to be hearing some silence from LeBron between now and the end of June as we watch what the Lakers do as a team.
All right, so that's Windhorst. Let me add Shams to this mix before I let you fire. Let's see what Shams says about LeBron's future.
Questions. What happens to LeBron? What happens to Darvin Ham?
So let's start. There's three prongs to this. Let's start with LeBron James. I'm told LeBron is expected to play up to two more NBA seasons. So he just finished year 21. He's going to play at least 23 is from what I'm told, potentially up to 23. He's got a $51.4 million player option. He could opt in.
How much?
Could opt out. $51.4 The Lakers are willing to give him whatever he wants, essentially. If it's a one-year max, a two-year max, even a three-year, $164 million maximum contract if he wants to come back. LeBron James is going to have to monitor exactly how they handle the offseason, how they build the roster. Clearly, there needs to be changes to this roster. His option date, deadline, is June 29th. Interesting timing, right? It's right before free agency and right after the draft. And what's potentially on draft night? His son, Bronny James. And in a perfect world, the Lakers have LeBron James back and potentially they draft Bronny James. I'm told they are interested in picking him in the draft in June. And you know, Bronny James obviously will have a decision to make going through the pre-draft process. So that is where they stand with LeBron James and where they stand potentially with Bronny James.
There you have it, Steve. They're going to use a baby to save the marriage. The LeBron James Lakers marriage will be saved by a baby, baby Bronny. It's going to save him. Your thoughts?
Well, it looks like I'm going to be a Laker fan in recess for at least another year or two. This is sad. This is sad. It's interesting about Bronny. I know there have been projects that have been drafted before based on size. He has to, if he gets drafted, let's say it is one of those first round picks, he has to have the lowest scoring average of any two guard in the history of the NBA to be drafted in the first round. I'm not amazed. This is what it's come down to for this Laker franchise. You know, we used to be run by serious people like the great Dr. Jerry Buss, the logo. And now we got a bunch of Fredo Corleones up there led by Jeannie Buss running this whole thing. I don't know. Look, gauging the temperature of our fine city here in L.A., I believe that at least half of the Laker fan base wants this thing to be over with. It's been a letdown. It has not been fun. You also have the specter of the cult of Kobe, which has never wanted LeBron James there. And Jason, you pointed it out in your column. If you actually look at the overall spectrum of this run of the LeBron James Lakers, take away one bubble title, which I believe has an asterisk, it's been a huge buzzkill. Bottom line.
Total buzzkill. What do you think of my contention that the NBA has moved to where development of your own players, belief in a system, players buying into the system, and a great coach, that's actually what produces consistent winning? And LeBron James has never been that type of player where he's going to buy into a system or a head coach.
Well, look at the Nuggets. I think they're the very definition of what you're talking about. But look, we have to be fair about this. I thought the Lakers actually played pretty well. This is the most backhanded compliment I'm ever going to give. That's the best, closest 4-1 series I've ever seen. You've seen the stats. For a large majority of those games, the Lakers were winning. And in fact, they were winning at every halftime. And for much of the series, it always seemed like they were hovering between an 8-14 point lead. And I kept saying, wow, the Lakers actually are not that far off. To be fair, LeBron is still highly productive. He's still very much one of the best players in the game. When Anthony Davis is available, they are a very formidable 1-2 punch. But I have to ask someone that's a LeBron fan, is it not enough just having two of the top 50 players of all time? Do we need to add another all-star for the Lakers to get past the first round this year? Again, the Nuggets, to me, their basic formula has been knowing who their stars are, everyone getting into place, and it seems to me first-class coaching. Because, Jason, you take a look at that series, the last 3-4 minutes in at least three games, which all went one direction, decided this series. So you know where I'm going with this. Darvin Ham, he's going to be eaten up for dinner. He's got to be the fall guy here. That's step number one to bringing back LeBron James.
I'm going to channel my Victor Conte and say the EPA or the EPO or whatever.
Yeah.
It wears off in the fourth quarter. I watched that game last night. I watched that game last night, and I never doubted that Denver was going to win. I mean, never doubt. And the Lakers were in the lead and in control. I was like, man, Denver's going to start knocking down some of these threes, and the Lakers are going to get tired. LeBron's going to get tired. The Lakers are just going to get mentally exhausted, and Denver's going, and that's what happened. And so I was not surprised, but I do think having AD and LeBron, and then your Murray Scap attack was just on, Steve, and just pointed out, like, do you understand the Nuggets don't have anybody in their eight-man rotation other than Jokic who has played in an all-star game? Because Jamal Murray, as good as he is, has never made an all-star game. So it's not like that Denver team is loaded with all great players. The Lakers actually have as much talent as Denver. They're just not coached as well, or they're not allowed to be coached as well because of LeBron James. That's my theory.
Well, and also, Lakers need a Michael Porter. Who's that third banana that's always going to be consistent? He was really good down the stretch last night.
Yeah. But you know what his name is? His name's Kyle Kuzma, and they let him go for nothing. Russell Westbrook, I think.
I remember when the Lakers had that nucleus of young players with Julius Randle, Brandon Ingram, and Kuzma. I kind of like that group, and I get it. They had to be broken apart to get AD. I get it. But there's something that has to be stated here. To think that LeBron and Clutch Sports does not have an influence on the Lakers management over the makeup of this team and how this roster is constructed, I think is incredibly naive. And Jason, again, I'm not the biggest NBA fan anymore, but I do remember back in October, November, how this was a retool Laker team and they're deep and they were one step away from the NBA. No one was saying that this team was incomplete or had roster holes. And now you think it's like the 1991 Lakers after Magic retired. It was not that team. Again, I think the Lakers have a real issue here. If you go on with LeBron, and I guess this is all about entertainment. This is about ratings, television contracts, selling tickets. I get it. The problem is, if you don't win another title during this LeBron James run, what's going to be left in the wreckage? Because one thing that you've pointed out, Jason, and it's been a common denominator, the departure leaves a lot of destruction. It's rubble. I mean, you end up with parades, right? You start with parades, and then it ends in a funeral. It's been that way from the very beginning.
Yeah, Steve, your take on Bronny becoming a Make-A-Wish kid on the Lakers roster.
I mean, look, Jason, can I give LeBron James credit? He's been a really good father, an outstanding father, right? Can't you just keep shooting hoops in the backyard with Bronny? I mean, can't they just play a game of horse in between the road trips? They have all off season now. This is the thing, and I brought him up a couple weeks ago, Jason. Bronny James will be the new version of Jack Haley. Remember old Jack Haley out of UCLA? What was his main contribution in basketball? He made sure that Dennis Rodman showed up. He was essentially his babysitter in Chicago. And that was his role. I mean, he literally extended his NBA career at least 6-7 years because for some reason, and I read some stuff on this, Dennis Rodman just really liked Jack Haley. And he met him at some function when they were, I forgot what team, but he said, I like that Jack. He's a cool guy. They went drinking. And he was the one guy that could consistently, not all the time, but consistently say, Dennis, we got to practice at noon. Let's get going. And that was his role. He kept Dennis in line. He didn't discipline Dennis, but he kept him engaged as much as possible. Well, that's Bronny James. He's a new age Jack Haley.
I've said enough on Bronny and want to be fair. He's just a kid. The dad's put him in a bag. Okay, LeVar Ball, superior dad to LeBron James, in my opinion.
What?
I know that'll piss off the. Wow. Oh yeah, that's gonna really irritate the LeBron groupies.
Went but there.
I said it. I did.
You did.
I did. We're gonna play tomorrow. Thank you, Steve. We'll play tomorrow, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Waiting for the countdown, coming off the breakdown, standing in line for freedom. Looking for a breakout, feeling like a standoff, nothing in life like freedom. Came like a fighter, striking like a ladder, making all this moves for freedom. I want freedom. No negotiation, my sister, no relation. We all just wanna have freedom. Sitting on the corner, never been alone. I'm breaking my back for freedom. Bless, we are living, get back. We are receiving, all deceiving. We all wanna be free. We want freedom. I wanna be. I just want. I wanna be. I just